Hello, I'm Greg Williams, president of Grace Communion International, and today my guest is Heber Tikas, who is our superintendent for the Latin American region of GCI. Welcome, Heber.
Thank you. Yes, I am. You got that one right.
Yes. Glad to have you here. I know our history is starting to build up over these years, many years together. You came over several years ago now with the Church of God, Seventh-day Spanish-speaking churches, along with Lorenzo Arroyo and so forth. What was that journey like coming over to GCI for you and your family?
Well, let me see. It's been quite a while. I think I can count now with, I need more hands. More
yes,
fingers.
Yes.
No, it's been a while. It's been now 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been 17, 18 years. It's been a good journey. It's been a really good journey. There was a time during that season where we didn't know where to go and how to go. And
yes.
And GCI was quite a fit. We had a similar journey. We had a similar history. Well, you came out of COG7 too, didn't you?
Absolutely. Which, some people don't know that part of the history, but that was many, many years ago. That's what started the movement that became Worldwide Church of God.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I think I read that in a book someplace.
Yes, yes. But now we're in the present. And so we're so glad that that you, Lorenzo, and so many others made that journey. So we're so glad to have you as a part.
Well, and thank you.
And I know, too, for you, your journey into pastoral ministry was maybe a little atypical in a sense. So what was it like for you?
Yeah, pastoral ministry, it wasn't something that I was looking for. It wasn't something that was in my plans, or at least not in my immediate plans. I was part of initially a COG7 congregation, and the pastor that was pastoring that church really created spaces for me. He allowed me to do things, small groups. I led youth. He had me preach. Can you believe that?
Sure. Yes.
He trusted me and opened up the pulpit. And we had a really, really good relationship with him. But, there was a season of his own life where all of a sudden he said that he was done with ministry. Mm. And I had started taking some classes at a local Bible institute because I love scripture, but pastoral ministry was not in the cards for me.
Yes.
I wanted to be a high-flying banker. That's what I wanted to be.
Okay.
But, the moment came where the pastor said, he was leaving. He was leaving in 3 months. And my supervisor at that time, Manuel Ochoa and Lorenzo Arroyo, they said, you know what? Can you hold the fort for a little bit? Maybe a year or so. I think we can get another pastor in here.
Yes.
And we were not a big church. We were a small church, probably 40, 50 at that time.
Okay.
And so I said, sure, I can do that. But 6 months went by, a year went by. 2 years went by, and they said, we're coming down to ordain you. So that's how pastoral ministry came about for me.
Right. I know you've shared before, too, that you kind of were fighting it all the way, in a sense, too.
I was. Yes, yes, I was. It's kind of funny. There are things that kind of shape you.
Yes.
And in my upbringing, we struggle living in the States, living in L.A. in the 80s. Amidst poverty. So one of the things, that got stuck in my mind in relationship to pastoral ministry, pastors just don't make any money.
Right, right.
So, that kind of held me back a little bit.
Sure.
Although I was passionate for the scriptures, for ministry, for the things I was doing. But, I said, I want to make some money. I don't want my children to live like I lived.
Yeah.
And I think, it wasn't the right approach for sure, but that it held me back a little bit.
Well, what would you say to someone who might be resisting a call to ministry?
They're resisting the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's the first thing that would come to mind. Calling is an interesting thing. Of course, you grow throughout the years, and I've had opportunities to develop others and to really work with pastors as well. And to me, calling initially, I looked at that as a super calling, like a super spiritual thing. But one of the things that I have found, if God, through the Spirit, has opened up spaces for you to do ministry and to be in participatory ministry, And that has been validated. I mean, the calling is there.
Right.
I would encourage those that that have those opportunities not to resist it. Just flow into it and just allow the Spirit to do it through them and with them.
Yeah. It really is a matter of trust, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Well, that's really good. So right now, you're currently in Grace Communion Seminary and have, you know, completed several classes. What's the experience like for you being in seminary?
I am? Man, I didn't know I was. the first thing that would come to mind about the seminary, it would be, oh, it's challenging.
Sure.
Yeah, and it is challenging. Just with any academic program, it would be challenging, but it's been truly enriching. I mean, I truly enjoy it. I enjoy reading a whole bunch of books.
Sure.
No, reading, it's something that I do enjoy, but reading with an understanding, with a greater understanding, it's a good thing. I've had a really good experience with GCS.
How has it helped to sharpen you in your role as a pastor and a superintendent?
Ooh, yeah. That shows up in your preaching. Mm-hmm. It shows up in your own personal growth. I think it's really been helping having a clear understanding of who God is for us and with us. Mm-hmm. Actually, good theology will always inform mission and will always inform the way you do ministry. So it's very formational.
Well, I know with you, I've always seen you as being a really practical minister. You want to see it being lived out and in action too. But how does that work together, the theology and the practice?
Yeah, I think we can fall into the trap of just falling in love with theology,
mm-hmm.
just falling in love with the heady stuff. For me, if I'm not putting that into practice, I kind of feel like I'm being corralled in many ways. Mm-hmm. So I think it's crucial to be able to have that understanding, but put that understanding into ministry practices.
Right.
And I truly believe, and I truly, truly, truly believe this, that, the Holy Spirit will always open up those spaces for participatory ministry,
mm-hmm.
because we know that God is at work. We know that Jesus' mission in the world did not end with the ascension. We know he's at work.
Right.
So we just got to really open our eyes and not be afraid and understand this. There's nothing to lose. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, because the Spirit goes ahead of us. And if we follow that lead, you can put the two together. Yes.
Absolutely. So the God we're discovering as we go deeper into theology is also bringing us into participation.
It's interesting you say that. The God that we're discovering in theology, we're discovering God in theology, but we're also discovering God in that participation.
It is. Yes. Yeah, it's like two bookends. They got to go together, don't they?
Yeah, it's like, when you go to scripture or theology or books and God is love and you understand that phrase in mm-hmm. your mind, and that's who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But you can discover that in a more tangible way. As you experience God's love, well, in your own personal life,
mm-hmm.
but God is love for all as you participate in ministry and you see the love of God flow
right.
in others.
Right.
And it may be through you, maybe through me, and maybe
sure.
through others, but you're seeing that and you're participating in that. So again, you're bringing that theology into practice.
Yeah, that's good. I love how that goes together.
Me too.
So I was thinking, even as we were putting this together, I was going to say that you were bivocational. You almost are actually trivocational with all the things that you balance and responsibilities. How do you learn to juggle so much?
I don't. I don't know. I've always been a go type of person. Man, I've been working since I was 14.
Okay.
I've always been that type of person that needs to be doing something. And the work that I do, I enjoy, especially mm-hmm. the ministry work.
Yes.
I can't see myself juggling different things that I don't enjoy.
Right.
And my bivocation or trivocation, it's really present because I started doing mortgage lending when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 20, someone took me under their wings and showed me the way. And man, God has blessed me and through his grace and by his grace, I've been able to have a pretty decent life and been able to raise a family through that. And I enjoy that. And the reason why I enjoy that, because it connects to ministry as well. Mm. You know, in Southern California, I think population is what, in LA County and surrounding counties, is like 11, 12 million.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if about 3 to 4 million are Spanish-speaking immigrants in that area. So in my mortgage lending business, I work with a lot of Latinos.
Okay.
You know, and I'm able to help people kind of understand the system here in the States. Mm-hmm. And that's been the case for many years. So that does translate into ministry, as you're in community, in relationship with people, and you're helping people. So I think that's been one of the things that have been key to be able to juggle, you know, the things that I do, that I do enjoy them, and I'm doing them with people. So God is good.
Well, I think what you just said too is that you don't separate secular and sacred. And that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Secular and sacred. That's the first time I hear you say that.
Well, the sense that a lot of times with people thinking about ministry and calling to ministry, that somehow mm-hmm. that is just about preaching and visiting with people and sharing the gospel. And it is, but it's still about relationship. I mean, our jobs, being with our families, it all flows as ministry. Christ is present in all of that. So
that's right. You know, God is at work in everyone's life. It's like when we think about, you know, evangelism per se,
yes.
Oh, we're going to bring someone to Christ. Are we really bringing Christ to someone?
No, we don't take Christ anywhere, do we?
Right. So is God not at work in your workplace? Is God not present there?
Yes.
Is God not present in people's lives? You know, I remember this one time I was meeting with a client and I looked at his address and he lived two blocks away from our church building. And I have an office in our church building. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, and my office is down in close to downtown LA. And I said, instead of you coming down to my office, why don't I meet you at another office that I have really close to your house? And I gave him my address to my church office. And he came and him and his family, his whole clan, you know, came to my office. And we did what we needed to do with some paperwork. And then we were just talking Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we were just talking, you know, so he was kind of intrigued. So you are the pastor here and what do you do? And so, I mean, it just kind of blended in. It just right. It's kind of connected. So you are right. Separating that secular, that sacred. Yeah, that's a paradigm shift for many. Yeah.
It's good.
Indeed. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. God meets us in all those places.
He sure does.
So you've been the superintendent for our Latin American region for going almost 2 years now. What, for you, what's been the most rewarding part of that role?
It hasn't been COVID, that's for sure.
No, absolutely, yes. Yes.
COVID's been challenging. Yeah, it's been almost 2 years and I feel that I've been strapped this year, mm-hmm. you know, and not being able to do some of the things that I wanted to do. But thus far, the most rewarding thing that I could kind of point to has been the relationships.
Yes.
You know, I've heard of some churches that we have a church here or we have a church there. But when you put faces and you start interacting with pastors and with people, and I tell you one thing about our church members in Latin America, they love WhatsApp.
Mm, yes.
you get to know them and you start relating. So the relationships, I would say, has been the most rewarding thing. You know, I was born in El Salvador and I only lived in El Salvador for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So going back, like I was in Honduras last year, I've only been to El Salvador, you know, twice and like for a week, and I don't have a life out there. But going to Latin America, it doesn't look that different than other places in Latin America. So it's been rewarding, you know, going back, going to Latin America and engaging some of our church members and engaging those pastors and kind of seeing what's out there. It's been really neat.
You had mentioned the relationships, and you and I've talked before about how, you know, working with the ones who've been in leadership, so they represent maybe a little bit of the older generation, but tell me about the younger people who are starting to show up and how that's working.
Yeah, I mean, they're there, you know, they're present. And yes, we got to honor our pastors, you know, that from a superintendent role,
yes,
that have been in the trenches in ministry for a long, long time. And I just turned 50 this past year.
I appreciate you admitting that, because this is being recorded, you know.
I was going to tell you that I just crossed 40, but I said, no, this is being recorded. Yes. My wife's going to spank me if I say something.
Right.
And I've been in pastoral ministry, 20 years. Mm-hmm. 21 years. And so I've been serving, you know, in a leadership role, man, 27 years or so. So I being a pastor, I know how the trenches, you know, can be difficult, and I know how there could be those moments of isolation and doubt. So just kind of honoring our pastors and the work that they've done, I think it's important. But at the same time, it's also as important to mm-hmm. understand our, you know, where's our younger generation? Where's our next leaders coming from?
Yes.
Are they here present? And most of the time they're there. God has already gifted us with what he needs for his church. Mm-hmm. So we just have kind of be enlightened and open our eyes and be able to see who we can work with. So that has been kind of neat. Because right. in a short period of time, I've been able to kind of see where there's life with the younger generation, and we can work with some. Yeah.
What kind of spaces have been open for them to participate more so?
Well, you know, the traditional spaces, and when I say traditional spaces, I'm talking about, you know, youth ministry, worship ministry in a church. I think in some of our congregations, those spaces and those lanes are present mm-hmm. In Latin America. But I mean, there's been other spaces that I can think of, like young people starting getting into smaller gatherings and smaller groups, and, mm-hmm. and in some cases, some ministry that relates more to the traditional church ministries, like preaching ministries, teaching ministries, and that sort of stuff. So, yeah,
right. Right, yeah. Right. And I know you have a translation team too, as well.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the areas that was key and important for me to find out who do I have in Latin America that can help me with that. Because one of the goals that I've had initially was I want to make sure that we did have alignment, that we are mm-hmm. one church. And I think that GCI, one of the gifts that God has given us is unity, is relationships. And I mean, everywhere that I've gone, you know, I've been received so well. I've been on calls. I've had the privilege of being on calls with other fellow superintendents. And
right.
Really been well received. So that's pretty neat. So for me, it was important that I can kind of translate and bring to Latin America those things that are translatable.
Right.
Okay. So putting together a translation team, not that we didn't have it before. We've had someone doing translation in Latin America for a long time, and he did a really, really good job. But now, you know, just bringing some alignment, it was important for me. So we found some younger people that can kind of do that as well, that are kind of passionate for the church, for God, for ministry. So God's been good.
That's exciting to see, because we do see, you know, the future in front of us. And yeah. if we're not working with them now and helping them to grow and develop and even challenge them right. a bit, right?
Well, they've been challenging me.
Yes.
They've been challenging me. I mean, I asked for something to get translated, and it comes back the next day. I'm like, I got to either edit this thing. I got to make sure that it's aligned. I mean, cut me some slack here. Give me a break.
Yeah.
So it's been good. It's been really good.
Goes both ways.
It does.
Well, you and I, we've been in ministry. We've shared a lot of experiences outside the walls. We did here in the U.S., actually did in Mexico City and other places too. That's one of the things where we've had connection. We've worked on the team-based, pastor-led quite a bit. So you've had a chance to, you know, see our church in many different settings. Obviously, in the Latin America world, Southern California, but across the U.S. too, and now working with the other superintendents. How would you speak to where we are as a fellowship right now? How would you?
Well, let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
And I want to thank you.
Yes.
It's outside the walls, not over the walls.
Well, we know.
We got it right.
That's right.
No, yeah. You know, Greg, we've been working together for, what, good 5 years now? 6 years, probably?
And you add it up. It's probably been 6 or 7 already.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, and we've sat down and we've talked about ministry, we've talked about needs and what have you, and some of them been a little bit scary, like
yes,
like with outside the walls, it was a little bit scary. I remember the first time we did an outside the walls, and I so much appreciated you, and I've told you that throughout the years, you coming alongside and sweating with us out in the community.
Sure.
and participating and loving your neighbors and loving a community and creating those spaces where we can get to know some other folks, you know, in a community. So yes, I've engaged the fellowship as a whole from different perspectives, from the Latin American perspectives, from our Spanish speaking churches here in the United States, which is a little different.
Yes.
Some of our congregations that have multi generations, and some of our congregations as well that might be, you know, an aging congregation. But I've seen a spark in people's, you know, in people's eyes, you know, towards ministry and towards mission. Now, you know my passions. You know, I'm passionate for pastoral ministry. I'm passionate for the mission of God, for the mission of Christ. I've often said, man, if I'm to be a pastor or I'm pastoring a group of people and all I'm doing is just coming together and being in relationship, being in community and teaching each other, which is not something that is bad. It's really good, you know, but we're not participating in that mission.
Yes.
What we were talking about earlier, from the head to the heart, to the hands and that participatory mission. I would be miserable.
Right.
I mean, as a pastor, and maybe it's because of the way I'm wired, but I would be miserable. So in those early years, you know, 6 years ago, it was a good opportunity to get to know our fellowship and even with the CMM work and all the CMM work that I did here in the United States, you know, it was a really good opportunity to see where the Spirit was leading us and how the Spirit was leading us. And it really enlightened me. And I think it was enlightening in ways that we were engaging the needs of the church.
Yes.
From a missional standpoint. I don't know if I'm making sense with that.
Yes.
So, you know, doing something like outside the walls, it wasn't something that some of our churches were doing. And maybe it came across a little bit like, are you kidding me? Are we really going to go out there and do this? But it's just been, it was an amazing experience.
Right.
You know, just really understanding where we are and where we can go and where the Spirit is leading us.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thank you too for helping to open that door. I mean, it was, our people have always had a deep sense of love. The love of Christ is in our fellowship. There's no doubt. But sometimes we turn inward and don't even know we're turning inward. And so we, a little bit more of a social club as opposed to really being messengers of the gospel and engaging our neighbors. But outside the walls was so key in helping us do that.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the challenges that most U.S. congregations, at least, and I'm seeing that also in Latin America, one of the biggest challenges that we have as churches is that commuter nature of our congregations.
Yes.
You know, that we're commuting from 40 miles, 50 miles an hour, in some cases, an hour and a half away to come to church. And so when we talk about church growth, or when we talk about engaging our community, or we're talking about, hey, open your eyes, what is Jesus doing in your surroundings? Mm-hmm. It's really hard,
right?
You know, when everyone's spread out that way. So if you recall, outside the walls was kind of birthed out of that.
Yes.
How can we have a presence in our community that we can engage?
Right.
You know, and that's not easy. That's not easy. So I remember a couple of pastors saying, are you serious? Are we doing this? Are we truly going out in a square mile here and talking to people and inviting them to an event? I said, yeah, you know, what we're going to do is build relationships.
Exactly.
It's all about relationships.
Right.
That's all we want to do.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's been a really good time doing it.
And I know now, mixing with the other superintendents around the world, you are having the opportunity to even engage and do some teaching and training through Zoom. Right now, we've not been able to travel this year, so we've had to do the next best thing, and that's been through Zoom.
Yeah.
Tell me about the experience of working with the other superintendents and seeing what's happening.
Yeah, you know, every context is different, right?
Yes.
You know, we have cultural differences. Even here in the States, I mean, even in one state, mm-hmm. You know, you can have somewhat nuances of culture that are happening there. So it's been interesting, you know, and mm-hmm. then understanding how can we collaborate with each other and what translate, what doesn't. But I mean, I think of Jesus and the team that he chose.
Yes.
You know, he chose Simon Peter, and we know where Simon Peter went, but they didn't see eye to eye. Those 12 men didn't see eye to eye, but there was collaboration there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see that so much maybe in the Gospels, but when we look at the book of Acts and we see the presence of the Holy Spirit bringing everyone together and that collaboration happened, and that's what happens with us. So it's been a great experience in engaging the other superintendents, and you've done a great job of bringing us together and having one vision. And I think that translates just about everywhere. So
yeah.
So it's been a great experience to get to know deeply some others.
Yeah, our sense of wanting to be the healthiest expression of church we can be is really been a guiding direction for us. It's exciting to see the superintendents sharing and collaborating with each other, like you said, a community of practice, truly, where we're sharing the same vision and we're sharing resources and helping one another across the world. How amazing really truly is that?
Yeah, it is. And you might remember when we were in Mexico City doing Outside the Walls.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great haircut that day.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, it was a practical day. I mean, yeah, we were there and this was part of the element. I rode a mechanical bull. They had all
you
these games.
Bull?
Absolutely. Well, but also what I remember was praying with the lady. She was the one who cut the hair, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And even you as the pastors, it wasn't you and me. It was the local pastor. It was some of the others from the Latin American region who were meeting people, having fun, but also suffering with them and feeling their pain and praying with them.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is, I mean, you were there to support me. So we were having an event, an Outside the Walls event.
Yes.
With our congregation in Mexico City. They shut down the street. They had like a carnival type of event for the community. And we're having a blast. We're having a good time. They had different things going on. And you got into that mechanical bull.
Right.
You were brave.
Right.
You got a haircut. But then the Spirit opened up some lanes.
Yes.
For ministry to take place. That was a Saturday. We didn't have to wait for a Sunday for ministry to take place.
No.
And here you are. You are different. You understood 10% of what was being said,
sure.
But you understand the language of prayer.
Mm.
You understood the language of need.
Yeah, and we witnessed that together. I mean, this is the thing about the shared ministry. I mean, Jesus has called us to participate, and it happens in community. I remember that young family, the father who seemed like he was just standing off all day on Saturday and letting the kids play. And I thought, we'll never see him again. And guess who shows up on Sunday?
Yeah. That's how the Lord works.
Yes.
So, I mean, I bring that up. And the reason why I bring that up is because collaboration happens in the Spirit.
Yes.
With the Spirit. So you're collaborating with me, coming alongside, you know what, I'm going to show you that I'm for you. I'm going to bring some high support to you, and I'm coming along with you, although I don't speak the language. But little did you know that the Spirit had a space for you to do some ministry there as well.
Right, right.
Right?
Yes.
So even in amid our differences, so when I think of other superintendents and the collaboration that can occur, I mean, we are so different than Africa, per se, our culture and the way we do things. But when the Spirit is present, He opens our eyes, something perks in our minds, something perks in our hearts, and that space of collaboration takes over. And I think you experienced that when we were in Mexico City.
I do, and I could share even more stories of being on the ground with Eugene Gazan in the Philippines, the same kind of thing of where the spaces are open, with Colin Goulet over in Africa. And again, the unity that the Lord's brought to us is pretty amazing. It truly is.
Hey, man. So, I mean, that's an important, you know, prayer point for us.
Yes.
You know, that we can use that value of unity that we have.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will use that, not only just to collaborate amongst each other, but to participate in that joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Participate in that joy.
Right. And let it spill over to our neighbors.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Well, this has really been rich. I've enjoyed this. I would like to ask you as we kind of close out, what are maybe two or three faith goals that you have for Latin America? And again, to ask our listeners to be able to lift this up in prayer.
You're now asking me for a report. Have you been reading my reports?
Well, I do read your reports. Yes, I do.
No, that's really a good question. And two things really, you know, pop in my mind consistently. And I've been often asking the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. Where is the next generation of leaders for GCI in Latin America? So the first faith goal that I have is to develop the next generation of leaders for our church. Mm-hmm. Not that our current pastors and our current leaders have not done a great job.
Right.
They have.
And you're not neglecting them either. So,
No, right. We're not neglecting them either. But we know that you know, we're not eternal here, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, things happen. I mean, you asked me about my own story into pastoral ministry.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden a pastor felt that he was burnt out with ministry and chose to end his ministry in that place. So he had the good sense, and he did open up lanes for me. You know, I was 29 years old when I got ordained.
Yes.
So that's my first faith goal, develop the next generation of leaders for our church.
Yes.
And there's collaboration there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have GC Ignite Latin America. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that collaboration and the young leaders in Latin America, they love that. They even love the name. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, this year we couldn't do some of the things that I wanted to do with that generation. So just developing that next generation of leaders, that would be my first faith goal. And my second faith goal would be, and aligned with that, is to really establish three MTC-like congregations, Antioch-like churches. Mm-hmm. What I would call sending churches, mm-hmm. or churches that have the capacity to recruit new leaders, to develop them, to create spaces for them in ministry, and to also be a place where an avenue is open up to learn that theology as we spoke.
Right.
But not just that, but to really open those ministry spaces, because development has to be hands-on. I believe that especially pastoral ministry, good leadership, has to be hands-on.
Yes.
So my goal is to have an intentional congregation that owns that lives that becomes a sending church. And I want to have that in Southern California. I want to have that in Colombia. I like to have that in Honduras. And, mm-hmm. and that's a faith goal that I'm consistently praying for.
Well, why don't I just pray for you right now and pray for our churches over there?
Amen.
All right. Father, Almighty God, we get excited just talking about ministry. My brother Heber and I, we've been on journey together for quite some time, and we know who's leading it. Spirit, thank you for going in front of us. But we do lift up our churches, like you said, Southern California, Mexico, Central America, South America. As Heber said, he wants to see that next generation of young people. Lord, please raise them up and give us eyes to see. Give us the ability to invite them in and to just create the spaces so they can learn and grow and develop too. And I I do pray as he's working with those existing churches that they can become a healthier expression, that they can be multi-generational, they can practice the ministries of faith, hope, and love in such a rich way, Lord, that it's evident that they've joined with you and your work there, and that the gospel will be proclaimed and people's lives will be transformed. So we trust you for these things. They're faith goals, but Lord, we know these are your goals and this is your heart. So allow us as we work with you, beside you, and as you work through us and in us, that these goals will become reality. So again, we thank you. We praise you. We do it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Eber, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. And again, you've been listening to We Are GCI from the home office here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes.